Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, March 8th, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 8, paragraph 2, which begins with "Trembling I stepped in" and ends with "More wonderful as time passes." Commenting on that one paragraph, please. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Joanne D. for the 12 Traditions, Chanel T. will read and comment on our text for us, Diane B. will read, Yvonne A. will read page 164, and Diane B. is here for backup. Christina M. Will greet our newcomers, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. DOA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship. Oh, let me give you the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for March 7th is 21205. That's 21205. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 21207. That's 21207. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting to our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Now, we'll now ask Margaret D. to please read our 12 steps. Star one to unmute, Margaret.
Sorry about that. Here are the 12 steps. One. Oh, my goodness. I just dropped my... here we go. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. And now I'll now ask Joanne D. to please read the 12 traditions.
Sure. Hi. 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Chanel T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 8, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Chanel T. to please begin reading that for us.
Thanks so much. This is Chanel T. I'm in Washington State. And I am a grateful compulsive eater. Today I get to live in recovery by the grace of God. Trembling, I stepped from the hospital as a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day in 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or... One moment, lost the page. I don't know what happened. I'm on Kindle. Let me get to the right page, guys, in my book, because my Kindle is being a brat. My apologies. I'm going to start the reading over really quick. From the hospital, a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Came resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would be stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Thanks for your patience with me with my reading. Wow, what a compelling account that he gives here. His experience, strength, and hope is what this chapter is. And it has depth and weight. It is not frothy emotional appeal. I see themes of bondage followed by freedom, coming from war into peace. Armistice Day, of course, the 11th hour of the 11th day, that was what became Veterans Day or Remembrance Day, depending on where you live. It's about the ceasefire in World War One, debauch, that's a great word because it's an act of or occasion of extreme indulgence in sensuality or carnal pleasure. Like think an orgy, right? And that was how I ate, except that it wasn't. It was how I ate and I thought, I was like, oh, this is just so wonderful. But really it was just because I had to. I had to. Food was the only solution and food behaviors that I knew. And, but yeah, it became quite carnal, frankly. how dark it is before the dawn. I love that he's giving us hope here, even though this is his bottom, right? He's giving us hope that it's going to, the dawn is coming. The dawn always comes. And for us in this program, the dawn comes. Talks about the fourth dimension. Now, technically that's time. But looking at this in other references to it in the big book, it's a spiritual dimension. It's that spiritual awakening that I get as the result of working these steps and living this new life where God is my higher power, or whoever I want to choose as my higher power, that is not food. Food's no longer, remember, he just spoke a paragraph before about food, in our case, food being his master, alcohol in his case. It's no longer my master. I have a higher power that's not food, that's not a false idol that's actually killing me. Something that brings me life, brings me peace, brings me joy. Such an amazing, amazing life. And I wouldn't want anyone to miss it, because if it can happen for me, it really can happen for anyone else. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And it is. I have, as my sponsor has said, progressive recovery is what we get. It's a progressive disease, but I believe the recovery is progressive as well. And I continue to grow in my fourth dimension of a spiritual awakening. And if you had fear sober you up for a bit, that's great. I'm happy for you. It never did for me. I was never sober in the food. I was never, no matter what diet, no matter what I did, I was never abstinent. So I'm grateful that today I am, that I get to enjoy this amazing fourth dimension with all of you here along for the ride on this just incredible experience. And I am filled with thankfulness. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. Wonderful start. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Mary O.
Mary O. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Diane MC.
Diane MC.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jeannie N.
Jeannie N. Okay. That sounds great. So we have got Karen KZ, Donna B., Mary O., Diane MC, Deborah G., and Jeannie M. And if you are not Karen KZ, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Karen, please share with us.
Hi, thanks for your service. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And I just loved the last sentence. I was soon to be catapulted into what I call the fourth dimension of existence. But to know happiness, I feel like I'm catapulted every day into a fourth dimension of existence. And the reason for that is because I keep inviting God to take over. I keep remembering that that's how this all works. That's how the defects are removed. That's how I have a life of happiness, is when I get out of the way, less of me and more of thee. And it's just incredibly amazing to me, the life I have today and the happiness I know today, and all the credit actually goes to God, because I have surrendered, I've given my life over, and I'm letting God run the show. And sometimes I take it back, of course I do, but more and more and more, and I'm just seeing all the blessings and the wonderful life that I couldn't even have dreamed of. So I'm so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for all of you, because together we get better. I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen KZ. Okay, Donna B., you're up next, followed by Mary O.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. exercise bulimic and binge purge bulimic in Denver, Colorado. I love the sentence that fear sobered me for a bit. And what this tells me is that fear alone is not sufficient to stop me from compulsive overeating or engaging in any of my defects of character. I have had the experience of being very motivated by fear, fear of gaining weight, fear of not fitting into my clothes, fear of being humiliated, fear of, medical consequences, fear of on and on and on. In my nightly review, I write about fear every single night. It's something that I live with. It has gotten better with working the steps and coming to rely on a power greater than myself. But the point in this sentence is that fear is ineffective in stopping me from eating alcoholic food ingredients. And I love that in this chapter and in future chapters, like more about alcoholism, the list of things that are not effective are so clearly illustrated. Humiliation doesn't work. Success doesn't work. Failure doesn't work. Like, all these things don't work. And by admitting that I am a compulsive overeater and that no human power could save me from this disease, and only a power greater than myself can, it puts me in a position to be willing to work the steps to draw closer to my higher power, which does a couple things in the context of this sentence. One, it protects me from compulsive overeating, and it allows me to experience a lessening of the fear in my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary O., you're up next, and you're followed by Diane M.C.
Thank you so much, Mary O., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Just wonderful to hear this paragraph today and the share that followed. It was just really great just to hear the talk of carnality, connected with food, because that really rings a bell for me. It's almost a lust for, more food, just to, hide feelings, to cover up whatever. And just knowing that it just never had to stop, even though at times I was like a periodic compulsive overeater, in that I would, binge for a couple of weeks or something and then have a period of, no problems. And that was so mysterious to me, at that, what's that, and then the more I studied the literature and started understanding that the periodic alcoholic, I started to understand how it works for me more. It was that my only solution was to keep a daily abstinence, because I couldn't, there was no predicting of when that period would start or end or anything. So it's, I've recently had a loss in my family, and I was talking to my sponsor this morning, and I said, it's just this gaping hole is what it feels like. And all my substances are showing up in my dreams the past couple of days, and we're just laughing about it because, I'm glad it's getting worked out somewhere, and I'm not acting on it. I'm not acting on the foods or the other things that I use to run, the things I've used to escape from what life is, it. So deeply, deeply grateful. I just love Bill's story, and I love that we're on that right now. It's right now, it's like my favorite part of the big book is when he is telling the truth about, what it was like, what happened, and what it was like then for him, and the fourth dimension of existence. It's like to be able to use those words, to put into words what he is experiencing, I think is phenomenal and is such a gift. So very good to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary O. Diane M.C., you're up next, followed by Deborah G. Please share with us, Diane.
Thank you. This is Diane M.C. in Chicago. And this short paragraph, I tell you, it's just balm for this, the sorrowful soul. My heart is just grieving. I came to the meeting this morning, grieving over a loved one's addiction and the consequences of seeing self-destructive behavior. And what has helped this sorrowful soul of mine is remembering that catapulting experience that I had when I was introduced to working OA differently, using the 12 steps, calling in through vision, listening every day to the big book. I have to say that perfectly describes what happened to me. I was catapulted into a different way of a better way of recovery that was more long-lasting, and that's been 7 years now, and called the fourth dimension. You know, that's all about God. Behind that catapult was a power greater than oneself. And I just think, of course, it continues to happen. And it could happen to this loved one of mine. And it could happen to people listening today. Today may be that day where they're catapulted into a new way of life, where they finally get it. And that's what I'm leaving this meeting with, thinking about that. A number of years ago, we took our children to this catapult experience where the catapults had watermelons in them. And they would shoot them off, and they'd go soaring through the air. It was such fun, and that's what I'm imagining now. Throughout our world today, there's that catapulting experience, soaring through the air, where another person is getting recovery and a new relationship with their higher power that, when they got up that morning, was not there. It can happen again. And I'm just, hope has been restored in my soul. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane M.C. Okay, up next we have Deborah G., followed by Jeannie N. Please share with us, Deborah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service this morning, and everyone that's making this meeting possible. I love this meeting. And welcome to any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad you're with us here today. And I remember the darkness I was in with the knowing I had an alcoholic food that I wouldn't give up. And I kept, you know, playing around with it and in my mind, all this stuff, the games in my head about it. And the darkness, though, took me to doing a workshop where you go through the steps for a year. And in the middle of that workshop, I got woken up to the reality and the truth, the honesty, you know, that I was telling myself a lie because I wasn't honest about that alcoholic food. And I saw the reality of it. A fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, salting every single bite I was putting in my mouth, not even tasting my food. And so I got myself an OA Vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps quickly because I started to feel that experience of that darkness, and I didn't want to be there. And I learned through that process of going through those steps that the food wasn't my problem, It was my self-centered fear, self-centeredness. And by going through that, the action, having it done to me, not by me, going through that, did I get free? I got free. I wasn't in those alcoholic foods. I wasn't relapsing. I was free. And I started, which opened up that space within myself to feel happy, to feel joy, to feel connected to my divine loving presence. That experience was what I was longing for, because I couldn't get connected with all that other stuff. And then connected with all of you to help you, to be of service. And that continued to keep that connectedness. And keep me in that joy and that happiness and that freedom. And that doesn't mean I don't go back to self-centered fear, but I have those beautiful 12 steps to live that I can get back in alignment, get back on the beam. It's just wonderful. I'm so grateful. And thank you all. We can hold hands together and do this together.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm talking away. Okay. Thank you very much for letting me know. Okay. So we have Jenny N. up next. And after Jenny N., we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 8, paragraph 2, which begins with trembling. I stepped in and ends with more wonderful as time passes. Please share with us, Jenny N.
Thank you. It's Jenny N. And I'm so, so grateful to be on the meeting and for all of you, your service, and also to the moderator. Before I begin, is there any way I could get the name and phone number of the lady who talked about fear? I didn't get her name.
I'm sorry.
Hello?
We really don't do that. I'm sorry. We're not able to do that for you, I'm afraid, Jeannie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I want to share that recently I learned that I had to increase my spirituality. It seems like when I think I'm doing so good and with the spirituality, I learned that there's so much more I can do. And it's a good feeling. I'm doing what I've been told to do. And I'm so learning so much more. And the other thing I wanted to share was I had a spiritual awakening yesterday, and I didn't even realize it. One of my outreach calls told me, and I really wanted to share it, but my mind is just going blank right now as far as that's concerned. And the other thing I wanted to share was about the hospital, being the hospital, you know, being in the how we have to treat ourselves with being in the hospital. For me, it means my church has a lot of different events, and now they're having like a church, a different coffee and chocolate tasting party, a pizza party, and they go to different restaurants. And right now, I can't do those things. That's for me being in the hospital. Those are my hospital, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but, I also want to share that, only God, the steps, excuse me, only God and the steps can help me, to recover. And, I am so grateful once again. Thank you so much for letting me share. Bye-bye now. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jeannie N. I do suggest you listen to the recording of the meeting, and then perhaps you can find the speaker's name on a Vision for You's website.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 8, paragraph 2, give me your name.
Sarah C.
Nancy.
Sarah
Wendy
C.
B.
And Wendy B. And I heard in between, was that Yvonne?
Luann C.
I'm sorry, somebody C.
Luann C.
Luann C. Okay. I have Sarah C. Wendy. Okay, I'm sorry. I have Sarah C., Luann C., Wendy B., and I didn't catch anybody else. Who else wanted to comment?
Carolyn F.
Carolyn F. And was there somebody T also?
Vicky T.
Vicky T. Okay. And let's start with that. That may be what we have time for. Okay. So Sarah C., followed by Luann C., Wendy B., Carolyn S., and Vicky T. So please share with us, Sarah.
Hi.
And if you're not Sarah, please, and please star one to mute your phone. Thank you, Sarah. Please begin.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. This is Dara C. with a D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wilmington, Delaware. And what an awesome paragraph. There's just so much in there. But I love the line that it's always darkest before the dawn, because that is so true. I'm very fortunate to live, and I've lived my whole life in a part of the country that gets all four seasons. And there's just something kind of magical that happens near the end of any one season when it's transitioning into the next. And we don't always get a really good spring or fall, but we have lately. And there's this line from a song that I like that says, no matter how cold the winter, there's a springtime ahead. And that's sort of the same sentiment here, which is true. And when you're in the thick of it, when it's January or February and you're in the thick of it, you have to just pause and remember that spring is coming, that no matter how cold, you could have a blizzard and ice and, you know, it's negative whatever degrees, but no matter what, there will be green blooms again. There will be a spring. And that just gives so much hope to me. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, which is maybe kind of silly, but the first time I ever heard that line about the fourth dimension, I kind of thought, oh my gosh, this is a cult. Like, it was so foreign to me. I was totally atheist, agnostic, like weirded out. I wasn't even sure if I belonged. I kept trying to identify out. And then I heard something like that and was like, this is a cult. That is weird. Like, I don't understand this at all. And then, but, you know, I got a sponsor and I started working the steps anyway, tried to have an open mind. At the time, it was as open as it could be. And at my fifth step, I had this amazing spiritual experience. And then I kind of was like, oh, like, what else could this be but a fourth dimension of existence? Like, it was, I didn't get it until I got it, where it's just when I am connected and living on a spiritual basis, it is just like a different plane of existence. You know, everyone else can be running around me anxious and in a hurry and, you know, kind of missing life on their phones, doing whatever that they're doing. And I can be at such peace and so serene and just so, like, I don't know, connect. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's awesome. And I guess I'll just go with Bill and call it the fourth dimension of existence, which is not like all day, every day, let's be real. But when I have those spiritual experiences, it's just so awesome. And I'm so grateful for Bill and our founders and the book and this meeting and the steps and just everything. And I just want to keep going deeper and working at it because it's just like a design for living that works. Like,
thank you, Amanda.
Thank you. I know now, you know, I feel like I have a guide for living. And so anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dara C. Luann C., you're up next, followed by Wendy B.
Thank you. I'm Luann C. I'm recovered in Boise, Idaho, just for today. I'm so grateful. And I love this paragraph. And what's standing out is the insanity of that first drink and the beginning of my last debauch. And it reminds me of mine, which was You know, I had been in OA for 5 years and I had just gotten that beautiful 5-year chip. And I was showing it to my sister at a restaurant on vacation and just trying to 12-stepper, right? And I'm showing her the chip and, oh, it's so beautiful. And she was so impressed. And I put the chip back into my wallet and then I proceeded to order a chocolate souffle. And so that was the beginning of my last one, which lasted for 8 months of just drowning in the food and, you know, circling around abstinence until I finally was washed ashore at Cornwall and Vision. And I got my wonderful sponsor who guided me through the steps. And somebody mentioned predictability. Now I do have a predictable life, which before I would have said was boring. But now I have a spiritual structure that supports my life, and I'm thriving on that structure, which I never would have said I needed. And so I'm just so grateful that, you know, that darkness, that moment of recognition that I really did have this thing and it was growing, and my just reaching out for God and saying, I have no idea. What do you want me to do? Just to give me the next instruction. Do I go on breathing? Do I go to bed? I mean, I had no ideas. So I'm just so grateful to be here and just hope that newcomers hear something that brings them back, because I have found the solution here. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Carolyn S.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so he was writing this, you know, history, you know, after he had his awakening, you know, his dawning. And he was giving us a little taste, you know, of what was to come after he hit bottom, you know, his darkest days. And he was giving us hope, you know, what comes next after we surrender. And we get to experience, you know, living in a spiritual realm. He calls it a fourth dimension, an existence where, you know, we can experience happiness and peace and usefulness. And on page 25, he says, we found much of heaven. You know, he describes it as revolutionizing his whole attitude toward life, you know, his fellows and God's universe. And he describes the shift from the central fact of our lives no longer being about our substance, but now being the certainty that our Creator is in our hearts, you know, and is in accomplishing things for us that we couldn't do by ourselves. And, you know, this shift is from living in the hopelessness of our disease to now living in faith, you know, where God has enabled us to choose to believe his promise, you know, and embrace them instead of rejecting them. And we can see through the eyes of faith. You know, we can see God's hand intervening all around us, and we can trust his power. You know, we've experienced it. You know, God gives us this miraculous gift of faith. And, you know, we have this choice every day, every moment. You know, am I going to believe God and live in faith, or am I going to live in doubt and unbelief? You know, he gives us free will, you know, to choose. And, you know, and he's giving me the opportunity continually to choose his way of the spirit, you know, to choose life. But I still have to do the choosing with my will. You know, I can't be passive and coast, or I'll just coast downhill, you know. And you know, I just have to aggressively receive and embrace it every moment. You know, I have to want it enough to continually seeking after it. And that's my part. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. Carolyn S., you're up next, followed by Vicki T.
Hi, thank you. This is Carolyn S., a recovered compulsive overeater living in New York. This paragraph is just so, so powerful. A broken man. Yeah, I was a broken woman. And fear helped him for a while, me too. But then eventually, you know, I didn't have a power bigger than me, and I was not strong enough to fight, you know, the craving, the need for comfort. but how dark it is before the dawn, you know, and to be catapulted, the force of that, you know, just shot into the stratosphere of what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. And, you know, I looked up what is fourth dimension. Like in some science stuff, it's like it's time because like there's multi times going on in the universe. I don't know. But for me, it's just something beyond, something better that I've, than I've ever known. And as you say, it says here, I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness. Usefulness. I was not useful before. Certainly not to others and not really to myself either. And now, you know, I get to live a life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Like what bigger promise could there be? It's not saying I'm going to, you know, be rich or I'm going to, you know, suddenly be 25 and gorgeous. I mean, but I have a life that is richer, not financially, but in terms of meaning and value. Yeah, on page 11, I had a note to look at there. Here he's talking about everybody, but he says he had in effect been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. And I'm just so grateful that I get to be here to find out about this miracle and experience it myself. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S. Vicki T. is up next, and we have time for maybe two shares after that. So please share with us, Vicki.
Thank you so much for your friendly service. This is Vicki T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in South Florida. And I guess I'm just going to join on the bandwagon of the shares in terms of, you know, what, you know, kind of ditto to what everybody's saying. But I just, you know, want to mention this. If there's anyone listening that was like me when I first started listening to meetings like this, I felt very challenged. I heard everybody sounding really happy and really joyous and really connected to some sort of thing that just didn't make sense to me. I mean, it's a miracle that I kept coming back. I mean, I guess I really had nowhere else to go. I mean, not I guess. I really didn't. You know, I tried so many things to get free, not just from the eating, but from the obsession with my body and the obsession with your body and the exercise and all the symptoms. You know, I realized that I didn't eat or exercise compulsively or do any of the things that I did because of those things. I did them because I had no way of handling my life on any kind of no emotional, I mean, definitely not spiritual. I mean, that was, there was nothing. Dead, done. Emotional, much the same. You know, I was, you know, dressed up as a, you know, I was dressed up as an adult, but underneath, just a very, very afraid child, very scared. Fear was always, I was just afraid of everything. And you know, I've been in program for a long time, like decades. And I had abstinence for time, but it was just really following a food plan with some sort of group support. And to be able to say, be able to be on this meeting and say that I have know what they mean now by the fourth dimension, and that I do have peace and usefulness and a connection with a higher power that I actually call God, and that I refer to him as he has removed the obsession of the insanity of the first drink. Just, you know, waking up every morning and just saying, I'm never doing this again. Why would I ever do such a thing to myself? And torturing myself with exercise. It's just torturing myself. I'm at a point where God has removed a certain type of exercise. I just won't do it anymore. And I'm so grateful. I look at that piece of equipment and I just wave bye, not sitting on you anymore.
Thank you, reminder.
Again. Thank you so much, Elaine. So I am so grateful to be in this program and in this meeting with new type of people, and if it's a cult, I want in. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for one more share. Who'd like to take it?
Joe F. May I share?
All yours, Joe. Please share with us.
Thank you, Elaine, and thank you for your service. Joe F. Recovered by the grace of God in this program. It's so good to be here. Wow. You know, when I read this portion of the paragraph, I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. I think for me, what this speaks to is being seen. There's something about being on a phone meeting or being at a face-to-face meeting. There's something about being heard and being seen that is a direct line to my higher power. I have people in my life whom I love who, no matter how I say it, no matter how I express it, they are unable to hear me, see me, be there for me. I made some program calls last night. I got on the phone with people that I've never spoken to. And from the first uttered syllable, we were on the same page. And that's a gift that I've only found in the rooms. You know, I think of I struggled for many years with smoking. I couldn't stop smoking cigarettes. And I had stopped for about 6 months and then went back to smoking. And I wouldn't leave my apartment. I reached out to a buddy in program. And he said to me, meditate for 5 minutes and call me back. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy's crazy. I'm not going to meditate for 5 minutes and call him back. Well, I meditated for 5 minutes, called him back. And he said, I'm going to a meeting in an hour. Meet me there. I went there. And I ended up sharing. And this July 10th is 17 years that I haven't smoked a cigarette. I was a heavy smoker for about 20, 25 years. And that's as much of an experience of a miracle as I've ever had. I'm about 89, 90 days into my abstinence. I struggle with food at night. I go salty, sweet, sweet, salty. And you know, when I've listened into this meeting and I've heard people share and I would say, wow, okay, I feel like I'm at a party. Everyone's having a good time and except for me. And that's because I'm not connected. My disease wants me isolated. And when I feel isolated, I'm not in my recovery. And that's okay, because maybe in a sense, not being in my recovery is the quickest way to get to my recovery. So, anyone having a rough time, you know, we get it. We've been there. We're there. And the only thing I'll say is that I'm a devout Christian, and if you were to say to me, thank you so much. I'm a devout Christian, and if you were to say to me, there's only one place you can go right now in order to get in touch with your higher power. What would I do? I would either call into a meeting, go to a face-to-face meeting, or I'd call a program friend, because that experience of being seen is an experience of my higher power, and it's an experience of me being able to see myself, recognize myself, appreciate myself, and it all enables me to be gentle with myself. With that, I'll pass, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Joe F. And thank you, everybody who has shared. Really, really appreciate it. Okay. Although we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Yvonne A. please read 164 for us?
Yes, good morning, everybody. Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.